Hello and welcome to this Gardener Leader podcast, providing information for clients and contacts and introducing them to other experts and professionals sharing their insights. In this podcast, we are going to be looking at the issue of business growth and strategy and how important they are for a business to prosper in today's complex business world. My name is Dave Harris, and with me to address these big questions, I have two experts. Derek Rogers is the managing partner at Gardener Leader Solicitors. He joined the firm in 2005 as a partner in the corporate team before becoming managing partner in May 2011. In that role, he's responsible for developing and implementing the firm's growth strategy and has successfully more than doubled the size of Gardener Leader since 2012. Nikki Larkin is the founder and managing director of Gorringe Accountants, which she started in 2007. She takes a very commercial approach to working with her clients, and her background as a financial director has equipped her well to appreciate the complexities and the subtleties of running a business above and beyond simply the numbers. So thank you both for joining me. I wonder if we could start by talking about something which gets mentioned a lot in relation to businesses, particularly startups and new businesses, and that's the sort of vision thing, if I can call it that. You know, what is vision and why does it matter? Derek, could I ask you to address that one first?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of those things that you can spend an awful lot of time thinking about and getting tied up in knots about. Ours is really quite simple. We want to be the Thames Valley law firm that clients want to use and the best people want to work for. So we want to be sort of the best in our area, and we want to be a kind of viable competitor to larger firms in sort of bigger cities nearby.
So Nikki, based on what Derek just said there, vision is about where you want to be. Is that correct? And is that, would you agree with that definition?
Absolutely. Yeah. So and the reason to have it is for a couple of reasons. One is so that your team understands what the vision is and they buy into it. They get hopefully they will get excited about it, and also know and understand what they have to do to get to achieve that vision. But also then for external stakeholders and clients, they can have an understanding of what your business is about. Especially with professional firms, you know, it's hard to differentiate sometimes. So it's important for them to understand, well, why would they go to one firm over another? And sometimes the vision can therefore appeal to them.
And presumably, Derek, it's important not just for you as, say, the managing partner in your case or the CEO of a company to have a vision, but you've got to make sure that your people buy into that vision as well in order for it to work, I would assume anyway.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely key, and you need to make sure that everybody understands what it is that you're trying to be about and how you want the firm to be perceived. So alongside our vision, we've got a mission statement, and again, I'm never quite sure what the difference is between the two. I think the vision is kind of where you want to be, and the mission statement is how you're going to get there. So our mission statement is to deliver peace of mind to the individuals and businesses who are our clients, because we act for a very wide range of clients, from people buying their first home to companies with multi-million pound international litigation disputes. But at the heart of all of that, we recognise that there are people with anxieties and problems, or more positive objectives, but what they want is somebody that's on their side and is going to give them the peace of mind to know that they're moving in the direction that they want to go in to achieve whatever it is that they're trying to either resolve or achieve.
Nikki, the title of this podcast, as I mentioned in the intro, is Business Growth and Strategy. And I wondered whether I could ask you to talk a little bit about that, because as somebody who understands the numbers particularly and how important they are, presumably, what is business growth? What does that mean? Why does it matter whether a business grows or just stays the same?
So it's also important to understand what type of business growth. So it's important for a business to grow in certain ways, and that can be from the pure numbers sometimes, because obviously everything is always increasing in costs, etc. So therefore you would expect to hopefully your revenue to increase to compensate, etc. But first of all, the most simplistic, I would say, is to focus upon, are you trying to increase your revenue growth, which you may be, especially if you're a fast growth technology firm, so you're looking at really making an impact upon your sector. And so that may be a really key objective for you. However, other firms may be a more mature firm, and what they really want to concentrate on with their business growth is the profit. So it is really important to concentrate on what actual figure of growth you're wanting to increase. Also, obviously, as things do change, you don't want to become antiquated within the market. So it may be that you need to have some sort of internal growth, so your different strategies and training, etc., needs to grow and change with the market. So, you know, you don't want to be seen as being an old fuddy-duddy firm if you're in, well, in any space, then age yourself out. So that's one aspect of potentially where you'll focus on growth. For myself, we focus upon growth because we take in a lot of really good training accountants and, you know, trained accountants and professionals, and we want to make sure that as they develop, because they're good people and they don't want to stay in the same role all the time, they want to grow. By having a growth firm, it means that they have got somewhere to go to because the firm is growing and therefore new roles are being created, rather than if you're in a very static business, you're then always having to wait for dead men's shoes, and then you often lose some of your best people. So for a services firm like ours, that's why we particularly focus on growth. The other thing was for the healthy growth, which I do think is important, because you do have to be very careful. Derek's had a great growth story, but it's still, although it's a very impressive one, it still has been done very carefully and in a healthy way. There is lots of examples where firms do grow too quickly and then things break down and you have the issue of overtrading. So you do need to do it in a healthy, sustainable way.
Yeah, I suppose we've all heard those stories of customer services not keeping up with the sheer number of customers that some of the successful telecoms companies have and that sort of thing. So Derek, Nikki mentioned there about the success of your growth story, and I mentioned it in the introduction as well. So tell me a little bit about that. How did you go about that, and how did you ensure it was healthy growth, as Nikki described it?
I think the most important thing that Nikki said there is you've got to understand why you want to grow. And certainly for us, it's never been about just growing so that we can say we're, you know, we're bigger or we're X million pounds or whatever we happen to be at any time. For us, the growth has all been about almost growing so that we stay the same rather than growing to change. We've got a very strong culture in the firm. We've got a very engaged workforce, but we're in a profession that's very competitive and where there's a lot of consolidation. So we recognised a while ago that in order to be sure that we can maintain our independence and keep things under our own control, we need to grow to keep pace with others and to make sure that we can invest in the things that we need to invest in to keep providing a good quality of service to our clients. And as Nikki said, to enable us to develop our people and provide them with sort of challenging and interesting career paths, because, you know, there's a lot of things in the legal profession that you just have to spend on before you can even open the doors, like professional indemnity insurance and things like that, which just get more and more expensive every year. So you've got to have a certain amount of growth just to almost stand still to be able to afford those things. But, you know, we want to be doing challenging work. We want to be investing in getting the best people. So our growth is about that. And we've done it by a combination of some acquisitions of businesses, some mergers, and also organic growth just by developing trainee solicitors, keeping them on when they qualify, adding recruits, getting good people in from elsewhere. And you know, we've gone from being about £3.5 million in 2012 to just short of £10 million now. As we're recording this, we're in the process of completing another merger, which will hopefully take us to about 12. But along that path, we've also turned away a lot of opportunities that we've looked at because we felt that whilst they might bring us profit or they might bring us turnover, they wouldn't necessarily be right for the culture. And we want our staff to stay engaged. Our engagement levels and our loyalty of our staff has increased year on year as we've gone through this. And that, for us, is actually the most important aspect of the whole thing, because without that, it's not sustainable.
Nikki, before we leave the subject of business growth, I wonder if you could just tell me a little bit about setting goals and how you measure them. You know, so in other words, where what do you aim for and how do you know when you've got there?
Absolutely. Well, this is one of my favourite subjects and things that I like to do with clients. So what is important to start with is to understand the visions and aims and objectives of the company first. Then there are lots of different methodologies to use. I particularly like key performance indicators, so KPIs, because what I like is for the busy MD or CEO, it's good for them to just like have a snapshot report of their main drivers that dictate how the company will achieve their goals. So for example, if they are trying to grow a certain area, so a certain division, it may be that they're looking at seeing the certain products grow in that area. Now, often it's easy to calculate the final sales, you know, that anyone can do that, but to understand what drives those sales. So it's trying to unpick their processes to see what is the thing that's driving it. Is it certain type of marketing activity? Is it, you know, the number of leads that they come in that then convert to sales? What is it to really unpick and understand those? When you understand what the key drivers are to a company, then you can measure them. So you need to make sure that they're smart, measurable things, that are specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-driven, so that you can easily calculate those. And you might do that daily, weekly, monthly, but you'll be able to then see how those KPIs are progressing to able to achieve your objectives. But also what's really important is to never get complacent. So as the business grows or changes, that you do have to keep updating those drivers, because it won't be the same things driving the company forward. So you do need to review those regularly and decide, well, actually, is it a time to focus upon a different area? It could be that, you know, you're just now so good at that area that you don't need to put that focus on. The final thing I would say, though, is because it is important for those busy CEOs or MDs is to have that on that dashboard, is therefore is to there's no point in watering it down by having, say, 20 different drivers. What we normally would say is look for 5 or 6. Sometimes it can be less, but 5 or 6 usually gives you a good mix of different things that you're measuring across the business that will help you understand whether the business is working towards obtaining those objectives or whether you need to make some different actions to improve the success of those.
Derek, I wonder whether we could talk a little bit about leadership now. Obviously, you're in a leadership role at Gardner Leader, and I wonder how important that is. I'm imagining it's very important when you're setting strategy, when you're doing, you know, the whole vision and mission thing that we talked about earlier, and bringing people with you, making sure that you communicate that effectively to your people. What role does leadership play in all of that?
I think it's incredibly important, and I think we've seen that particularly over the last year during the pandemic, when everything's been turned upside down and people have been very uncertain. And I think particularly in a situation like that, you've got to try and give people a clear picture of what you're trying to achieve at each stage and how you're going to get through a difficult situation like that, but also the fact that there are likely to be brighter times ahead and you've actually got a plan that is going to see you through and keep growing. And for us, we've always been a very transparent firm. You know, even before I became managing partner, it's just always been part of the history of the firm that we've been a very open firm. And I do think sharing what is happening and just being as honest as you can be about both the good things and the more difficult things really helps carry people with you, because hopefully then they trust in the decisions that you're making, and they can see that you're making them as part of a bigger picture. So they might not like every single decision that you make, but if they think that you're heading in the right direction and that there's a plan underlying it and that everybody's eventually going to benefit from that plan, I think that is the most important aspect of it.
And Nikki, as you know, in terms of the, you know, as a financial director, how important do you see leadership? If you are a financial director, for example, you know, the temptation must be to sort of think, well, I'm here to sort out the numbers and to make sure, you know, we've got enough cash going forward and et cetera, et cetera, you know. And you might think that leadership isn't a part of that, but I presume it actually is.
You will find usually that the FD or CFO are number two in the organisation in many cases, and often they are the ones that then do step up to be the ultimate leader. You see lots and lots of MDs are former finance directors. So I do think it is that you'll see a difference. There are different calibres and classes of FDs, and often their distinguishing factor is whether they are a leader or not. I do think there's a very big difference between a successful manager and a true leader. So a leader you can see is somebody that is really good at understanding a vision and being able to convey that and communicate that. And actually in finance, the successful parts of finance is down to communication. It's communication of those numbers. So I think it is incredibly important, and I would echo everything that Derek just said. I mean, especially about how it's had to, the true leaders have shone out during the last 18 months or so, because you have to be able to adapt quickly, because that's another thing with the leader. And you will see the ones that are able to strategize, adapt, they're going to be the ones that successfully come out and change their firms and make them sometimes for the better after difficult circumstances like we've had recently.
And Derek, that's interesting, isn't it? Talking about change and adaptability, obviously the last 18 months has been a very good example of that. But even in more normal times, presumably companies that can adapt and leaders that can adapt and take their people with them are more likely to flourish and be successful because the market is changing, isn't it? It's always changing.
Yeah, I think you've got to be willing to try things. You've got to be willing to make changes, but also to have that sort of clear sense of direction as to where you're going. So we've got a rolling 5-year strategy, and that's got an idea of where we want to be at the end of that 5-year period, but it's not set in stone. It's more a direction of travel. Along the way, we've got objectives of what we would need to do each year to get us to that ultimate end point. And we also then think, well, if we're achieving those things as we go along, what kind of size of is the firm going to be at that point? And what are we likely to have to change so that we've got an appropriate infrastructure to support what we're trying to do? So, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you just follow that rigidly as circumstances change. It might be that you think, well, actually, we had in place a plan to do X in 2 years' time, but situations change and maybe we bring that forward. But you're constantly thinking, well, how do we keep heading in the same direction, even though we might have to change the specific things that we're doing at any particular time and adapting our plans accordingly? Or it might be that you get to a point where you're looking at it and you're thinking, actually, this is leading us towards being a different kind of firm to what we want to be. Therefore, we need to actually rethink this and make sure that we are staying true to the underlying values and vision of the firm.
And how important is the client voice in that, you know, in listening to what your clients and your prospective clients are saying?
Yeah, I think it has to be, because we're not here without our clients. So we've got various stakeholders, we've got the clients, we've got the staff, and we get feedback from both, and we try and make sure that the way that we're doing things provides the service that our clients want. And I think the worst thing you can do is just assume what it is that your clients want. You've always got to be thinking about what is the best way of delivering. And as I said earlier, we've got a very wide range of clients, so we need to make sure that we're delivering in a way that works for each individual client, not just thinking, right, we'll do it this way for these clients and everyone else will just have to go along with it.
Yeah, Nikki, I would have thought that is also an issue in the accountancy world as well, because obviously you're working in theory to quite a strict set of rules, you know, the things that you've been taught as an accountant, and there are regulations and laws and things that obviously you have to abide by. But having said all that, again, you presumably still have to listen to the opinions of your clients and be adaptable as you grow as well.
Yes, absolutely. So definitely listening to the client is fundamental to being a successful firm. We try to encourage that we have as many business reviews with clients as possible. You know, some people do only want to do it sort of perhaps quarterly, but a lot of our really high growth strategic clients, we do that on a monthly basis. So we're always finding out, you know, what is the, is there additional things that you need from us? And that also does then flow into our growth strategy. So if we can see that certain clients that are growing are going to need additional services, it might be some sort of specialist tax advice, or it may be that there's more of a trend that people want fully outsourced finance departments, for example, whatever that is, we then flow that through the firm, and then that encourages us to recruit and hire and train in that particular area to make sure that we are therefore seeing what the clients are going to need in the future and making sure we can service that. What you will find is that the forward-thinking firms do that and have very good client feedback loops, whether it's in direct meetings or through surveys, etc. You do have in across all the professional services a lot of older companies that haven't grasped that yet, though. So in fact, in some ways, firms like Derek and mine have been able to grow quite well because we've been able to just put some basic changes in, because some of them are really slow at catching up and are still very old-fashioned. But yeah, it definitely, keep finding out what the client wants is so important. But also with us, and the same with Derek, things are changing all the time. So whether it is the financial accounting standards or GDPR or Make Tax Digital, there's always something that is changing externally, which we have to change and help the clients adapt to going forward as well. So that influences quite a lot of our change as well.
Derek, before we finish, I wonder then if you could summarise for me, please. Not an easy thing to do, I appreciate, because this is a complicated and big subject. But if you could try and summarise what you think are the important elements in order to have a sensible business growth strategy and to take your business in the right direction.
I think it really comes down to understanding what kind of business you want to be. If you think that growth is important, understanding what kind of growth you want to have and why. Making sure that you've got the right people on board and that they are with you in that plan and that they understand the reasons for what you're understand what you're trying to do and also why you are trying to do it, and that you keep everyone up to date with how you're progressing, but actually involve people, talk to them, make sure that you're communicating in a way that is clear and consistent, and that you don't varnish things if in the more difficult times, but sharing the success and making sure that everyone feels part of what you're trying to achieve.
And Nikki, would you concur with that approach?
Yes, absolutely. I would just echo that it needs to be simple. There's no point having something really complicated or that they don't understand. Keep the message simple so everybody can understand it, communicate it, and achieve it.
Excellent advice. Thank you both. You've been listening to the Gardner Leader podcast on business, leadership and strategy. My thanks to my two expert guests, Derek Rogers, the managing partner at Gardner Leader Solicitors, and Nikki Larkin, the founder and managing director of Gorringe Accountants. I hope you found their expert insight useful. If you have, please subscribe to and share this podcast with your friends and colleagues. We look forward to you joining us for our next episode, but in the meantime, stay well and thanks for listening.